All right, you're on the arms with Glenn.
And Drew.
And it is another wonderful day here in Arizona. Too damn hot to be the January time frame, but whatever. What are you going to do? Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show and being a part of what we do. Make sure you are checking out all of the advantages of being a patron. Like if you haven't got your decals, or if you're not submitting show ideas, or if there's something you want to hear but we're not talking about it, don't let that happen. Make sure that you jump in on this and get involved, all right? Oh, what else are we going to say about that? Extra show. For $10 above patrons, your extra show coming this week, so make sure that you check that out. You're going to like it. Another great personal topic like we often do, so very awesome stuff. All right, Facebook's doing something weird, so I hope you guys watching, it's like the counter's like bouncing. It's like 116. And it just goes, oh, now it's like, now it went to 120. I don't know. So hopefully Facebook is working for you guys. Who knows? Facebook's always having some kind of weird freaking problem. But we're up on Instagram. And, of course, you can always catch the show on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, or some of the other platforms that we're on that I don't even realize we're on until we're on them. So whatever. What else? Let's see. That's it. What's good on news, Drew? What's big on the news? More shit. You got the inauguration happening this week.
Yeah.
Got 20,000 troops in D.C., 20,000 plus. All kinds of crazy conspiracy theory stuff happening. I don't even want to talk about it because last week we got drug off the topic and into that shit. And, man, I can tell you, I got buddies who work for federal agencies and some high-level stuff over in D.C., and I'm hearing some things that make me super nervous. You have a flood. You have a flood of gun bills happening. Everything from adding AR-15s to the NFA to New Mexico just dropped a bill that would hold firearm instructors accountable to some level if one of their students goes out and commits a crime.
Which is insane.
Which is totally insane. It's like driving instructors being, you know, held accountable for their driving students going out and running a red light or something. So who the hell knows what's going to happen, but I'm telling you what, folks, your gun rights are going to come under attack big time. It is a great, great time. It is a phenomenal time. It is the perfect time. It is the time to make sure you go out and get involved with FPC, the Firearms Policy Coalition. Fucking do it. Do it right now. Fuck the NRA. Fuck those fucking faggots. They're declaring bankruptcy. They're so goddamn corrupt.
Yeah, they're pulling out of New York and going to Texas.
Yeah, and all that ever happened is right before, of course, they declared bankruptcy, they made sure that their higher echelon pulled out a whole bunch of money for bonuses last year. So let's make sure we fucking do that before we declare bankruptcy, those corrupt fucks. But FPC, Firearms Policy Coalition, phenomenal organization. Please, please, please get involved with them. Please, please, please get involved with the Gun Owners of America, the GOA. Go get involved with that organization. And if you're in Arizona, you should be. No matter what, you should be. If you're not, do it today. At least get an individual membership, if not a lifetime membership, through the Arizona Citizens Defense League, AZCDL. You guys, our rights and our capabilities are coming under fire, and they're going to be under fire for the next minimum 4 years. So AZCDL, the Arizona Citizens Defense League. If you are a member of Arizona, or if you just love Arizona, or you visit Arizona, or whatever, become a member and help them keep up the good fight. And if you have an opportunity, I also highly recommend joining the USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association, another great organization to be involved in. These are all organizations that are doing good things to secure our capabilities to continue to do what we do in our lifestyle. If you're going to join the USCCA, make sure you email us directly. We'll hook you up with our guy specifically, so that he can take you through the process really, really easily. We have a local guy here, Steve Hendricks, who does an awesome job and was on the show not too long ago talking about the USCCA. So you can email us directly, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll make sure we get you connected with Steve. And that's anywhere in the country that you live. You don't have to be in Arizona to join through Steve. Wherever it is you live, if you're going to join the USCCA, please, it also kind of gives us credit because we're an official partner of the USCCA, so it kind of helps us look like we're actually fucking doing the right thing. But join through Steve, and that'll help us out. But make sure that you guys are joining these organizations. I don't give a shit about the NRA. If you're an NRA member, whoop-de-fucking-do. Make sure that you join these other organizations. They're actually the ones doing the good work.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Do it.
All right.
Zero's puppies left him because they hated him so much.
Zero's puppies are all gone. Some of them left the state. They couldn't get away from their dad fast enough. I don't blame them. Oh, what else is in the news other than all that crazy shit?
Is there anything positive?
There is some positive things. We tried out four new breweries this weekend. We tried four new breweries this weekend. The Founding Fathers Collective in Prescott. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of them are basically in Prescott, except for one of them is out of Tucson, right?
Yeah.
Moto Sonora?
Yeah.
So Founding Fathers Collective, which is an amazing group of businesses in Prescott. If you haven't been and you're in Arizona, it's worth the trip to Prescott. There's a gym, a Jits gym, a brewery.
A barber shop.
There's a couple other businesses. I don't remember what they all are. But there are a whole bunch of businesses, and they have a badass speakeasy that's members only. And we had an opportunity to go in there with some members and had
a blast.
An amazing time. Yes. At one point, we were drinking out of a 30 cal ammo can.
We were.
So
we don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was. Some freaking hooch brew. It was freaking nuts. But awesome place, Founding Father Collective. We also went to the Lazy G Brew Pub.
That was fun.
In Prescott.
They had good beer there.
Really great place. We tried drinks from Superstition Meadery, which is also in Prescott, I believe. And then Moto Sonora, which I believe is in Tucson.
Yeah, I think it was Tucson that they were coming up just to show everyone and have them do taste testing, which we bought a bottle. But the cool thing was that—
Did we end up buying that?
Yes, we did.
I have no idea how we got some of that shit.
Yeah, we did.
That 30 cal ammo can. Well, actually, what happened before the 30 cal ammo can kind of threw me for a loop.
It was a lot of whiskey.
I might have bought the whole fucking place for all I know. I have no idea what the fuck happened.
But Superstition Meadery, if you guys haven't been there, that's a cool, fun place to go to.
Yeah.
If you like mead, which now our local Costco, we just saw yesterday.
Had Superstition Meadery.
Yeah.
The blackberry.
Yeah, that's the one that I had.
That you had there. Yeah. So yeah, if you're in Costco, you can actually get Superstition Meadery stuff.
Yeah, so that's good for them, for our local boys getting into Costco.
Yeah. Yeah, and plus, plus to that, of course, we had two trips over the past several days to our favorite brewery here in Arizona, Wilderness.
We did. We did a couple date night, Friday night.
Yeah.
And then after our gym running session, that was fun.
So if you're local and you're looking for some good breweries, our favorites are Wilderness Brewing, which has a downtown Phoenix location and a Gilbert location. Our Gilbert location is our favorite. And then Fate Brewing. And Fate Brewing has a Tempe location and a Scottsdale location. We used to go to the Scottsdale location a lot, but now we're mostly at Tempe.
Well, we don't run out of Scottsdale anymore.
The Gato, El Gato. The freaking Hatch Chili beer at Fate is hands down my absolute favorites. Absolute favorite. So, yeah. And then we have other breweries. I mean, if you ever want to know a brewery to go to, we have them.
Yeah.
Everywhere we travel, we find them.
Yep.
Flagstaff, Sedona, Trome, you name it. You want to go to some place in Arizona and there's a brewery there, we found it. And we can tell you whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
And when we travel, it's kind of part of our thing when we're normally
that's
just
what
traveling.
We seek out. Just check it out.
And we try to scoop up a sticker from there and slap
it on
our travel Yeti. So, yeah. Hell, there's even a good brewery in Tombstone. We were down in Tombstone not too long
ago. Yeah, Tombstone Brewing.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Anyway, yeah, if you dig it, man, there's good opportunities.
And
what
they're
else?
Your people.
Yeah.
For the most part. There's some weirdos, but.
Yeah, there always is. For the most part.
A lot of hippies.
What else we got? Redwire Gear Moment. Today brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Here is my Redwire Gear Moment for you. Remember to administratively maintain your equipment. This is everything. This is lights, firearms, vehicles, whatever. Whatever gear you have that needs maintained. The straps on your backpack, the filters in your coffee machine, whatever it is, administratively maintain things. Do things before there is a problem. Get in the habit of changing and fixing things before they break. It's probably one of the biggest issues we run into in the training we do, especially related to firearms, emergency preparedness, medical, is people wait until they need the thing and then it doesn't work and then they're like, oh shit, I got a problem. Administratively maintain your equipment. Look for ways with your daily use stuff to constantly be administratively maintaining. I'll give you an example of something I do all day long. Never pass up an opportunity to charge your phone.
Yep.
Right? I never know when I might be in a pinch and need to charge my phone. I have legitimately twice used my phone for kind of oh shit emergencies. Used the flashlight on my phone for oh shit emergencies. And the flashlight drains the battery really fast. So if you don't have a good battery, you're kind of screwed. So I one time was out hiking and had forgotten to administratively change the lights in my headlamp. And this was years and years ago. And was kind of screwed. And was able to find my way back to my truck with the light on my phone, just navigating the path. I knew where it was. It was dark and I couldn't see very well. Didn't want to fall and hurt myself. And then several years ago while I was deer hunting, shot a beautiful buck just as the sun was going down, just before the sun went down. And good old Frank. And I had legitimately straight up stupid left my headlamp in the truck, which was a couple of miles away. And I needed to use both my handheld flashlight, which I administratively recharge, and my phone, which I administratively recharge, as my lights to both actually quarter and cape out my buck and as well as navigate back to the truck. You never know when something as simple as, hey, I just want to make sure my phone's always charged up, could really save you from being in a real bind. So always look at ways to administratively maintain your gear. You notice a small rip in your clothing? Fix it right now. Fix it now. Put a patch on it. Get some Tenacious tape. If you don't know what Tenacious tape is, go to Amazon right now. Order the brand Tenacious tape. Actually, it's RTI, I think, is the company that might make it or something like that. But Tenacious tape is what it's called. It's badass. Badass clothing and material repair tape. I've repaired tents. I've repaired pants. I've repaired puffy coats. I've repaired sleeping bags. I've repaired tarps. I've repaired everything with Tenacious tape. Get some of that. Carry it around with you. You start to see a rip in your clothing, throw some Tenacious tape on it at the very least. It'll pretty much solve the problem forever, but you can always peel it off and later actually go to a hard sew or whatever. But always be administratively looking for ways to maintain your daily use equipment. So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right. What's next? Our topic for today, boy, that might be the fastest we've gotten to a topic in a while.
Yeah.
Our topic for today, which is important, is firearm selection and brand snubbing. Now, even if you have all the firearms that you want, don't turn off the show yet because I've got some other stuff I want to talk to you about. If you don't have all the guns you want, you're trying to purchase something new, then we're going to certainly, you know, have that discussion right now. And as we're having this discussion, for those of you guys watching live on Facebook, jump in with your freaking questions, all right? That's obviously what we're here for. But if you're listening to this recorded on Spotify or iTunes or Podbean or whatever, shoot us your questions via email, info@trainingaz.com. If it's, hey, this caliber or that caliber, would you select this optic or that optic, whatever. Look, guys, this is what we do. Education is our thing. Don't think you're bothering us with your questions. I love doing it. And sometimes, depending on the question, you'll get phone calls from me. I'm happy to sit for a few minutes on a phone with someone, which is way easier than typing something out. I'm in the business of education. Drew is in the business of education. John is in the business of education. Our entire staff is in the business of education. So don't think you're bothering us, all right? I know there's a lot of people in this industry that wouldn't do that. And they would be like, oh, well, you know, you need to get private training with me, or, you know, I bill $25 an hour or $50 an hour, whatever, to talk on the phone with you. I don't fucking do that, right? We're happy to answer your question. So if we're talking about something today, we don't totally answer your question, man, shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we are absolutely happy to answer your questions. I mean, we already have a question right now, which is good. We'll get to that in just a minute. What are very underrated brands? We're actually going to talk about brand selection here in just a minute. First thing, disclaimer. Dudes, listen up.
You're about to hear my rant.
If you have a penis, I want you to pay close attention to what happens next. Men. Quit buying guns for women. Fucking stop. God damn it, stop.
Yeah.
I have been teaching now for a dozen years. I am telling you, the worst thing that guys do is buy guns for their ladies. Now, it's different if your lady says, hey, Drew recently wanted to upgrade to a Shield 2.0. So I bought her a Shield 2.0.
But I picked it up.
Because that's what she said she fucking wanted. Right? Like, And she knew. She was already using the shield. She wanted the 2.0 because she wanted to be able to modify the trigger, which you can't really do in the shield generation 1 with the trigger that we wanted to use from Overwatch Precision. So we need to get something different. She is knowledgeable about the topic. She knew what she wanted. Right now we're building Drew a rifle.
We are.
Through LRK Mechanical.
But it's what I picked up.
All the questions. I mean, Drew certainly asked for my opinion. I know a couple things about precision rifles, so she definitely asked my opinion. But overall, it was like, what do you want to do here? We went and saw it, right? We had a little visitation.
And Krupke didn't even talk to you about it. He talked to me. He talked to Drew. Which is the way it's supposed to fucking be.
I'm like, hey, man, we're here to see the rifle because LRK Mechanical's in Prescott. We were in Prescott this weekend. And so it was like, hey, dude, we want to stop by and see the rifle. You happen to be at the shop. Of course, LRK Mechanical's where we get all of our rifles built for years now, like almost 10 years. And we go to the shop, and then, yeah, I'm like, oh, cool, let's see it. And he pulls it out, and then he turns to Drew.
And then him and I had the conversation about my rifle.
The only input I had on it was the type of trigger that was going in it because he was using a trigger out of their stock, and I needed to order a new trigger from Timney to replace that. That's literally the only input I had. Yeah. And then he talked to me a little bit about the bedding because he wasn't talking about the rifle. He was talking about the stock that we chose has a weird system in it, and it was just a new challenge for bedding. And he was just telling me about the new bedding concept that they're using. Yeah. But when it came to Drew's rifle, he's talking to Drew.
So here's the biggest issue. Guys, if you want to get your women involved in shooting, don't fucking buy anything for them. Don't give them something and say, shoot this, and then think it's fucking funny when they can't fucking hold on to it and then laugh about it. Because I'll tell you what, that is the number one way to get your lady to never shoot guns again, ever.
Yeah.
And if you want to get her involved in guns, don't take her out shooting. Take her to training courses and allow professionals to help her get comfortable. Because the biggest thing is you guys are going to fight. You're going to tell her what to do. She's not going to want to listen to you. And if you guys don't already have a great relationship, you're just going to ruin the whole process. And she's going to be like, yeah, I don't want a gun. Which is pretty common. We see that a fucking ton.
See it a ton.
We see it a ton. Don't give a girl a fucking shotgun and then think it's funny when they can't fucking hold on to it. You're a dick.
Yeah.
And a piece of shit. You should probably shoot yourself.
The biggest issues we have is ladies get guns that they don't want.
Yeah.
It's everything from snub-nosed revolvers to really, really heavy AR. Heavy ARs, guys, listen, okay?
Jesus Christ.
Hold on. I'm about to make a non-gender-sensitive statement. Ladies, we love you. You're not as strong as guys. I know you're stronger than some guys. I know you are. Your physical capability is not the same as the majority of guys. I know there's a bunch of skinny jean wearing fucking man bun queers out there. They don't even hold guns.
Yeah.
So they don't even need to hold. They don't need any muscle.
I'm telling you. Dude, your ARs.
Heavy ARs with ladies. It's my nightmare.
Yeah, it is. And we see it almost every single time we do a ladies AR class. We have women that come up to us and say, it's either my boyfriend or my husband. And it's like,
he Jesus. Put this rifle together for me. He's got a fucking flashlight and an LPVO and backup iron sights and a quad rail. And I'm picking the thing up. I'm like, geez, I wouldn't really want to shoot this.
Yeah. And you're like, and most of it is because they sit at a table and shoot.
You know how hard it is to teach a lady shooting fundamentals when she cannot hold up a gun?
Yeah.
And this isn't anything about the ladies. This is everything about their gun selection, which was mostly done for them by some fucking idiot dude. And here's the facts. Here's the facts. Most of their dudes don't know what the fuck they're doing either.
Right.
And so now they've got this gun that they don't really fucking know anything about, or they just bought all the most expensive shit. Here, honey, I want you to have the best.
And he bought all the most expensive shit,
and they slapped it on the gun, and they bought a really heavy gun, and you're like, dude, she can't even hold up this gun. Every time we have a ladies' AR class, every time I have a lady in an AR class, I always make sure I bring some SBRs or some AR pistols.
Yep.
So that they can actually hold the gun up. Literally, every carbine class I have ever taught that had women in it, we had a problem with the ladies' rifle.
Yep.
And her being able to hold it up long enough to get behind the optics and do all that.
And even then, ladies, you still have to remember, this is an object that you're not normally holding at something. It's such an awkward position. Don't beat yourself up if you're like, well, I can't even hold it, so I have to put it on the table. Your body will change. Your mechanics will change. And if you listen to how we tell you to hold it, you know, you're going to use your bones more than you're going to use your muscle. But it takes a while to get used to. I mean, when I first really got heavy into shooting, I was shooting my fucking AK, and that thing's 9 pounds unloaded. That thing is a big bitch.
Yeah, you got a boat anchor for an AK.
But now when I can run and gun with that thing all the fucking time because it's my primary gun that I always shoot. So I hold it all the time. So it does get better. Don't just dismiss it. Be like, I can't hold these things. No, you can.
But there's all kinds of lightweight options out there that that can be had.
Like my SBR. AR pistols are a great example. My SBR, when before it was an SBR, it was an AR pistol. And it was a red dot, a light, and that was it. And that's all it fucking needs. It doesn't need anything else, especially if you're doing home defense shit, which is what most ladies are fucking doing. You're not walking this thing out 500 yards, so you don't need you don't need all that fucking shit. Take it off. Fucking take it off and put a red dot.
And stop putting stuff on until you're, like you said.
You have no fucking clue what it is.
Well, more so, like you said, until your structure is built.
Yeah.
I mean, we have big jack dudes show up to class and are exhausted at the end of the day, too.
They can't fucking hold it up.
Because their structure, their structural muscles aren't ready for holding a gun up, you know, out here in front of them or whatever. So make sure that as you guys are dealing with this stuff, you start easy. Start with lightweight stuff. Ladies, specifically, please stop having your guy load your range bag. Please stop having your guy load your magazines. Please stop having your guy do these things for you. He may be doing it for one of two reasons. One, he's doing it because he loves you and he wants to help you. Or two, he's doing you because he's like, this is my thing, little lady. Let me show you. Unfortunately, the second one is more common than the first. Either way, stop letting it happen. My biggest challenge to ladies, go to the range without your guy.
Yep.
Go to the range without your guy. Get used to dealing with your stuff without your guy. Now, next week, we're going to have Amy Robbins from Alexo Athletica on the show, and Drew and her are going to be talking a lot about this stuff, specifically for ladies. So for those of you guys with ladies in your lives who want to know more about all this, concealed carry lifestyle, gun selection, how to carry, all that kind of stuff, going to the range on your own, that's all going to be next week's show. I don't want to get too sucked in to this week, but I do want to get on to the next point, which is, where do I get my recommendations? So consider when you're looking at firearm selection, where most people get their recommendations is from like a buddy, right? Hey, bro, what's the best gun? Now, pump the brakes, because be careful about who you ask.
Yeah.
If you're asking someone with a limited knowledge of firearms, now you may think, well, they grew up with guns their whole lives, so they must know everything there is to know about guns. Hell, they've been around guns for 20 or 30 years. First of all, as always, participation doesn't equal proficiency. And it's the context of how they've been around firearms. Cops have been around firearms their entire career, yet they may have literally only touched whatever the department gave them. Mm-hmm. The majority of law enforcement I know are not gun people. They're not gun-centric. They don't even conceal carry basically off-duty for a lot of them. And a lot of them are not into hunting and shooting, competing and all that kind of stuff. They only really train with what the department gives them, and that's pretty much it. Don't think that just because they've had the gun, or my God, for those of you guys who are like, well, I talked to my buddy, he's in the Marine Corps, he's in the Army, so he knows it. Like, look, dude, that doesn't even mean anything. All right? Again, limited context for most people, for the majority, I mean the big majority, I mean like 95%+ of people who were in the military, if they had any actual real firearms knowledge, meaning they used it more than just every now and then in training or every now and then when they were in the field, or maybe they went on a deployment and they carried one, maybe they shot it, maybe. Even those outside of that, even, right? People who've been in special operations even still don't know a lot about their gun because their job is not the gun. That's not their whole fucking job. That's not the only training that they do. It's not the only everything that they do. There's so much more to the job than just that one piece of equipment. And even if they are experts on that piece of equipment, that's great. That means they're experts on that piece of equipment. They're not experts on all the other options out there. That doesn't even mean anything. Just because someone went someplace, did something, served in uniform service or whatever, that doesn't mean they're an expert on firearms. Yeah. It just fucking doesn't. Standing behind a gun counter. Look, I'm going to make a generalization here, and you can slap me if you want, gun counter people. But here's the deal. You probably work at a gun counter because you're willing to work for whatever the wage is that the gun counter pays. Do you know why I never worked at a gun store? I would be amazing at a gun store. I would love to work at a gun store. Talk guns all day. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, but you have to push certain products at certain times.
Even more, that would be fine. I could find my way around that. You know why I don't work at a gun store? Because I don't fucking pay anything.
Isn't it like $8 an hour?
Nah, it's like minimum wage or whatever. For most of the places you go, they're going to be, you know, probably 15 to 18 bucks an hour.
But even then, a lot of those guys, yes, they're very, very knowledgeable, but they also give out false information on some certain things. You know, I hear when we very rarely do go to the gun stores, we're always hearing guys push revolvers on fucking ladies.
I can't even tell you the last time I've been like, in a gun store.
What the fuck? Well, yeah. We were just in one not...
Where?
Maybe it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
But I remember when we were there. I mean,
we go to like Yeti Firearms to pick something up.
Not that.
You know?
We popped into some place. I can't remember what we were looking for. We were looking for something. And I remember we were looking for a bracket or something.
Well.
And I remember the guys like pushing this girl into a revolver. And I'm like, you're a fucking scumbag.
Yeah, stop.
I hate you.
Remember, just because you work at a gun counter doesn't mean you're a subject matter expert. Now, if you are listening to this and you do work at a gun counter, you could become more knowledgeable. But here's what you got to do. You got to do it on your own time.
Yeah.
You got to do it on your own time.
And you actually have to like talk to the person and find out what they're actually looking for. Not be like, well, this is the latest, greatest, blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, what are you using it for? Are you using it for defense? Are you using it to go out and hunt? Are you doing it for a long range? You know, all these certain things all come into play when you're trying to select shit.
And then you also run into like where people are getting recommendations, the internet, right? Look, there's all kinds of shit that gets said on the internet for all kinds of reasons. Again, it's all about context. So when you're looking for recommendations, you guys, it's all about context, all right? Now, part of that context is what you're going to be doing with the gun. So there's already been some questions on the Facebook about like, what is the best brand? What brands do I avoid? You know, the statement was made by Chris of, well, isn't the best gun the one you shoot the best? Yes, absolutely true. That is always. People ask me all the time, well, what gun do you use for home defense? I'm like, whichever one is within reach. You know, like, that's the best gun. That being said, what is good enough? There is such thing as good enough. In other words, do I have to have all my optics, let's say, all my red dots, right? Drew mentioned using red dots. Do they all have to be Trijicon? Do they all have to be aim point? Do they all have to be really, really high-end red dots? If this red dot is just going to be sitting in my house on a home defense gun, or I'm just going to take it out to the range and plink with it, maybe do a couple training classes, and then mostly it's just going to sit around in my house in case, you know, home defense or whatever. Do I need to have the best of the best? All right, well, I'll answer that question two ways. First way.
Are you sitting there in your Cry Precision pants?
Yeah. What is your budget, man?
Night vision on.
What's your budget? Like, should I financially put myself in straits to buy the best red dot? No, man. No. Hollow Sun, Primary Arms, the Vortex Spark, all great optics for sub $200.
Yeah.
Buy nice little red dots. Put it on your gun. Get it zeroed really well. Learn how to use it really well. Mm-hmm. Administratively change the batteries. Make sure it's always up and running. Make sure it's in a good mount. Make sure that mount's properly torqued. Get it all set up perfectly, and that thing will last you probably forever.
I mean, and even in classes, we have guys that come out with the best of the best, and they fucking suck at shooting. They're terrible. But they have the most expensive guns, and a lot of their guns malfunction all the goddamn time.
You cannot buy performance, right? You can enhance your performance sometimes with what you buy, but you cannot specifically buy yourself better performance. You can buy a super fast car, doesn't mean you're a very good driver.
Right.
I can buy a badass off-road rig, doesn't mean I'm not going to tip that shit over. Yep. Right. Or get stuck somewhere because I don't know how to fucking drive. Like, be aware of what you're buying. If I just have endless amounts of money in my bank account and I have a budget every month of, you know, several thousand dollars of buying gun shit or whatever, yeah, dude, buy the best fucking aim point. Awesome. Or even then, if the optic was going to be for the same aforementioned reason of just plinking every now and then, taking a couple training classes and using it for home defense, nah, just still get the cheaper one and then use that extra money to buy ammo and training and whatever else you might need for the gun, better safe or whatever.
I mean, we do always tell people if you have 1,000 rounds, train with 900, make those 100 count.
The reality of what is good enough, am I taking all these things to the mountains of Afghanistan? And even if so, like people are like, well, I wouldn't take this to war. Really? Because American service personnel have been killed by people with guns that you wouldn't even fucking pick up and shoot.
Yeah.
They're that fucking shitty. And they didn't all have high-end loopholed optics. Most of them had fucking iron sights, 8mm Mausers and Mosin Nagants and AK-47s and Dishkas and crazy freaking guns that have been in service for God knows how freaking long and treated God knows how. The fucking stock's a goddamn shovel handle. You know what I mean? Like, stop with this idea that I wouldn't take it into war. People have fought and won battles with way less than probably what you have sitting in your safe right now. The don't think, is it good? Is it good enough for war? Are you good enough for war?
Yeah.
Are you good enough for war? Who cares about what your equipment is? Like Donald Rumsfeld said way back in the beginning of all this nonsense when everyone's complaining about what the troops did or didn't have. And he said, look, man, you go to war with what you got, not with what you wish you had. Yep. And that was the fucking truth. You go to war with what you got. So, yeah, if I reach over and I pick up my Glock 26 instead of my Glock 19, and that's what I have to use to defend myself, well, I guess I'll be fucking defending myself with a Glock 26.
Better than having nothing.
Yeah. Better than having to fucking punch my way through this. So when you think about, is it good enough? Yes, there are plenty of things that are good enough. Lots of stuff that are good enough. Now, we did a video many moons ago about, like, what if I only had, you know, $800 to completely spend for everything on a pistol? What would you get? It's like, look, a lot of people would go, okay, if I have $800 to spend on a pistol, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that $800, I'm going to maximize it on a pistol. So I'm going to get, you know, a badass freaking, I don't know, CZ, Glock, SIG, whatever, right? Whatever you want. They're going to buy it. It's the best. This is awesome, right? And then they're like, all right, I only have a couple $100 left. Maybe you get a holster or something. Or check this out. Hold on to your horses here. Get ready for this shit. What if you spent $300 on a Taurus? Settle down, everybody. And then you had $500 left to buy magazines, a training class, and some ammo. And then you went out and you really learned how to use this gun. You got really, really proficient with it. And you shot a lot of quality rounds in a quality training course. And you got really good working from concealment, doing your reloads, working overall gun handling techniques, good marksmanship. Yeah, you'd still have that Taurus, but guess what would happen next? You could apply those skills to any gun then that you bought or found in the future.
Yep.
I don't need an amazing piece of equipment to survive every encounter I'm going to be in. I just need it to go bang. Some people go, well, a Taurus is a piece of shit. Heads up, folks. I've seen Saline arms go down in fucking class. I've seen Agency arms go down in class. I've seen Zev Glocks go down in class. I've watched LWRCs come the fuck apart in classes. I have watched all kind, every fucking brand you throw my way, I've seen one fail in class.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
It's going to happen.
I've seen stock Glocks shit the bed at a couple thousand rounds because some stupid little spring came apart or whatever. It is possible for any mechanical piece of equipment to fail.
Especially if you're not maintaining said mechanical piece of equipment.
And sometimes you just get that shitty ass lemon. Sometimes that shit happens, man.
Get your gun. What do you say on a Thursday or something like
that? I want a Monday or a Friday gun.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want a Wednesday gun.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I mean, I don't want a Monday or a Friday gun. I want a Wednesday gun. Sorry, yeah. I reversed that. I want a Wednesday gun, right? I want that middle of the week, I'm in the groove,
yeah.
I'm making good guns today gun. I don't want the, I got a hangover, and I'm coming into work on Monday morning, shit, I got to make guns. And I don't want the, how fast can I get the fuck out of here on a Friday afternoon gun either. So, yeah, let me reverse what I first said. I want a Wednesday gun, not a Monday or a Friday gun, right? So, you just never know what you're going to get, right? Shit happens. Now, is there a higher chance of that with the less expensive guns? You bet. You bet. But I've seen plenty of Tauruses run all the way through class. No fucking problems whatsoever. All of them, actually. Really? I haven't seen a higher chance of those things breaking than anything else. People want them to break because they didn't spend as much money on that as they did on their high-end Glock. And I'm not saying don't have good equipment. I have good equipment. Drew has good equipment. We all have good equipment here.
But for me, I mean, well, I also think that if you're just getting into it, don't go blow your money on some big expensive gun. Get, you know, you want to outgrow your equipment. Your equipment shouldn't outgrow you.
Well, so Chris just made a really good point. He said the cheaper good enough is probably better than half the Army issue shit, which is a point I wanted to make as well. When people talk about good enough, they're like, oh, I'm looking for mil-spec. I'm like, whoa, easy, Tigre. All right, here's the problem with mil-spec. Remember that mil-spec is literally the lowest standard. It's not some high, badass fucking standard. It's the lowest standard that the military will accept. So don't get excited about mil-spec shit. Yeah. There's stuff that's way, way, way better than mil-spec that is not expensive. So then the question is, well, are all brands then made equal to this extent? If I'm sitting here saying, well, hell, you, if you had $800, you should buy a Taurus and training and mags and holsters and whatever, as opposed to buying a $600 Glock and then you don't really have any money left over for anything. Am I saying don't buy the Glock? Of course I'm not fucking saying that. We have good guns on our hips right now. We have good equipment ready for our use right now. I'm not saying that. Are all brands created equal? No, they're not. Because some brands are going to put more into test and evaluation. Some brands are going to put more into their quality control. Some brands are going to put more into their product development and the capability of that product to be user modified outside of the factory, right? To be able to change triggers and sights and holsters and all, well, whatever, you know. So are all brands made equal? No, of course not. And there are definitely brands, you know, that I would stay away from, but which those brands are going to be specific to the firearm, and they're almost models within brands. So it's like if someone's asking me about shotguns, precision rifles, you know, carbines or handguns, yeah, there's a few brands I would stay away from, not because they're going to break when you buy them, but because over the years we've seen more failures with those than others. You know, styles of guns generally. I mean, this is not going to turn into a 1911 rant fest, but I will tell you, we see more problems with 1911s in class than anything else.
I don't understand why people like those.
Because they're still nostalgic. They're fun to shoot. They are. I get it. But we see more problems with 1911s than any other handgun that comes to the class, period. We see more problems with subcompact, tiny little guns in class than anything else, mostly because of bad fundamentals and poor maintenance. Subcompacts require more maintenance. They cannot run dry. They require good lube because they have a very small amount of space to manipulate the gun, and it has to be well lubricated, and you have to have good fundamentals or else the guns. So a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, my little Shield or my 43 or whatever, yeah, and I have problems with it all the time. It's always malfunctioning. Usually they're going, it jams. I'm like, no, jam is on toast. Your gun is malfunctioning. Yes, it does malfunction. Yeah, something's wrong with it. It must be the ammo. It's probably your shitty fucking fundamentals. That would be my guess. Let me guess. You also shoot low left. Must be the gun. I'll give you $50 for it. It's usually that. So we see more problems with subcompacts in classes, usually related to fundamentals and bad maintenance. Most of the time, the 1911s are related to bad maintenance. Usually not bad fundamentals. They're full-size guns for the most part, but bad maintenance. The old Springfield XDs for handguns, the originals, not the M's. The M's are good to go, but the original Springfield XDs mostly had magazine-related problems, lots and lots of magazine-related problems. The SIG 320s, man, there's been so many problems with that, I've just kind of stayed away from them, honestly. We see them in class. We haven't had any of the issues that, you know, of mechanical malfunction leading to firing the weapon. We haven't had any of those kinds of problems in class, but yes, we've seen them come apart. Really high-end guns that start doing weird shit, like they skeletonize the firing pin. Why the fuck would you do that? And then it weakens the firing pin, and that firing pin breaks, you know? Mm-hmm. People trying to take guns that were built to work in a certain way and start fucking with them internally, reducing weight on slides. Like, I'm going to add the optic, which increases the weight on the slide, and then I'm also going to, you know, skeletonize everything, and then I'm going to totally fuck with the weight distribution on this handgun, and I don't understand when it malfunctions or it won't run, you know, light loads. I had that problem recently with a subcompact in a class with a red dot on a subcompact that had been fucked with, you know, internally modified by this custom gunsmith dude that then wouldn't run light loads. And there's a couple brands that kind of light load their ammo to keep it less expensive. And there's nothing wrong with it. It still performs just fine. But this gun just wouldn't fucking eat it. Like, you start fucking with the internals of a gun, your gun's going to get more and more and more and more ammunition specific. And that's something people don't think about. They want to buy a Ferrari. They're like, yeah, I'm going to get this tricked out fucking agency arms or whatever pistol. I'm going to put this badass red dot on it. I'm going to do all this. And then I'm going to buy the cheapest possible ammo. They buy the Ferrari and they put 85 octane in it. And they can't figure out why they're not getting Ferrari performance. It's like, well, guess what? You bought the expensive gun. Now you got to put the expensive ammo in it. That's the most common problem we see with precision rifles, right? Not to get brand specific, because I wouldn't say there's a brand of precision rifle that we really have problems with at all. Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. But, you know, we have a lot of issues with ammunition going into those guns. People don't understand when you're buying this really nice custom gun. And I'm not talking about the low-level brands. They'll eat whatever. But when you're talking about, you know, you're dropping $2,000 plus on a precision rifle, it's going to be brands. It's going to be ammo picky.
Yeah.
Because now that the chamber's been cut a certain way, everything's been put together a certain way, and it's going to be a lot more picky about what ammo it might even feed and or what ammo it will shoot well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a Ferrari and put 85 octane in it. So I wouldn't say that there's brands necessarily. Now, in ARs, you know, people bag on Anderson Arms lowers, and they bag on Aero Precision. They bag
on... I have a ton of Aero Precision lowers.
Do we have? I have so much shit from Aero. My primary SBR is an Anderson lower.
My SBR is an Aero Precision lower. All my ARs have been Aero Precision.
And people are like, what? Oh, my God. I can't. Yeah. And in the safe, I have Daniel Defenses, and I have Psionics, and I've got custom rifles from LRK. I've got BCMs. I've got Colts. I've got all kinds of shit in the safe, right, that we use for training purposes.
I have my Geissele rail on my Aero Precision lower.
It's like all these – all these things, these brands that people are like, oh, no, you got to have this, you got to have that.
Why?
And then they see I have an Anderson lower. Like, you run an Anderson lower on you? I'm like, yeah, man. It was actually – and here's why I run it. It was given to me as a gift from somebody that at the time was it was an interesting gift. It was a peace offering from another instructor that I had butted heads with. And – we had a professional conflict. I didn't like him very much. And he was trying to get back in my good graces, really. And so for Christmas, and he and I have different religious views also. And so for Christmas, which was important because he's Jewish, so for Christmas, he gave me a gift. And it was this lower. It was a stripped lower.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it's a peace offering. I want, and I'm like, you know what? This stupid little feud we've had is stupid anyway. You're right. Let's get over it.
Look at you.
Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and all that. And we're over it now.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I built my SBR, and this has been years and years ago, but when I built my SBR, I'm like, I'm going to use that lower. Like, to remind me, every time I look at it, I remember that story, and it reminds me that's the importance of that. And guess what? My Anderson lower has seen more fucking rounds through it than most people's guns will see in their whole goddamn life.
Yeah.
And yet it still runs because it's a fucking lower.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of brands that people get super snobby about. And this is the hazards of brand snubbery. People are like, oh, it only has to be this. It can only be this. It can only be that. Now, there's a different...
I know someone very in particular that can only have Knight's armament, and I think it's stupid.
Well, there's a difference between snubbery and brand loyalty.
Yeah.
Like, we have a client that only buys certain brands because he has really high loyalty to those brands. They've never done him wrong, and if he has ever had any problems, they fixed it for him. And so because of that, he's got great loyalty. He's not snubbing the lower brands, so to speak, because everything he uses is very nice.
Yeah.
He's not snubbing the lower brands particularly, but he is saying, I have loyalty to these brands because he has the money, honestly, to do it, and it makes sense for him. So that's what he does. And I think that that is perfectly fine. Now, this comes into the next kind of part of this, which is, are parts just parts? Right? Oh, here's I got some funny comments here. I got to go here. I'd take PSA over my issued M16. Dude, Yeah, when people talk about mil-spec guns, I just remember like holy. I remember the first M16 I got basic. It was like rattle, 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 rattle. You know, and I'm like, hey, this thing shoots, right? You know, like, it's not gonna go, explode in my face. Yeah, they're you know issued guns. We were training a big unit, a pre-deployment unit years ago, and we were doing pistol work, so we were all using M9s. And there was this guy on the line, and he's shooting, man. We're working with him for a couple hours on fundamentals. He just can't get the fundamentals. And finally I go, hey, man, can I shoot your pistol and you shoot mine? Let's shoot next to each other. Mm-hmm. Right, everyone else was reloading. I pull him off the line or on the line just with me. I was running an M9 for these guys. He's running an M9. I hand him my M9, which is a pretty new one, and he hands me his. I shoot his Jiminy Christmas. I mean, it was nowhere near. It was just a fucking shotgun pattern. He shoots mine beautifully, just lights out shooting. Like, he'd been getting the fundamentals all day and just couldn't fucking. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like, oh, yeah, M9s, barrel life, whatever. Not very good barrel life. I pull it out. I look down the barrel. It's like looking down a smoothbore shotgun. I'm like, here's what we're going to do, okay? I don't need to do anything amazing with my pistol today. I'll shoot some demos. If I really need to be accurate, I'm going to borrow my gun back. Other than that, you use my pistol. I'm going to holster your pistol. And tonight, you're going to go back to the, after class, you're going to go back to the fucking armory, and you're going to draw a new weapon, and you're going to tell that armor, this thing's a piece of shit. Like, the locking blocks are about to fucking crack. The barrel's fucking shot out. Like, these are some of the problems that even people had with that gun in service. Like, oh, I fucking couldn't hit anything with my M9. It's like, yeah, maybe their pistol fundamentals sucked. Or maybe the gun was just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely possible. So, yes, I agree with you, Chris. Absolutely. So, Ryan says, gun is like the bottom of the importance list. What do you mean? Oh, here you go. He expounds on that. New people argue about guns, who makes them and what's good, what's not. As you progress, you realize none of that matters. How can you shoot it? Do you understand external ballistics? What grain at what speed? What's the ballistic coefficiency? Absolutely, Ryan. That's kind of what we're talking about. People get so wrapped into brands and what it's got to be and what spec and who recommends it and who uses it. And what's like, dude, who cares?
Yeah.
Can you shoot this thing?
Yeah.
And does it fit the context of what you're trying to do? Ethan says, whatever, everyone knows the only thing that matters when picking out a gun is how cool it looks. Yeah, we know that people legitimately are picking out guns that way,
Gucci
too.
Gucci guns.
Yeah. So I want to go over the funnel of firearms selection, and this is how we teach it for both handgun, carbine, shotgun, rifle, everything, the funnel of firearm selection. At the top, at the very, very top, and one of the smallest parts of firearm selection is caliber. Mm-hmm. Now, caliber is all based on the context of what you're shooting. And people ask all the time, well, would you take 7.62 by 3.9, 5.56, or 300 blackout? Yeah, for Drew, yeah, 7.62 by 3.9. Which one of those three rounds would you take? Well, let's see. You just asked me to pick between an apple, a pear, and an orange.
Yeah.
You're talking about three different calibers designed to do three different things. If I'm going to make a comparison, I need an apples-to-apples argument. So you could ask me, would you take 5.56 or 2.24 Valkyrie? That's fair, you know, okay. Or would you take 5.45? Okay, that's fair for sure. Would you take, you know, I don't know, 7.62 by 51 versus 6.5 Creedmoor? Oh, that's a fair comparison. Mm-hmm. 6.5 Creedmoor versus 6 mil Creedmoor. Okay, that's a fair comparison, right? That's a little bit different. And then at least we're like a big orange and a little orange comparison here. We're not totally freaking out in fucking left field. So if you want to know those kinds of comparisons, great. But make sure it's an apple-to-apple comparison. So start with caliber. Figure out the context of what you're trying to do. What are you trying to accomplish with the gun? Do you want to shoot long distances? Do you want to have, you know, good energy transfer at those long distances? Or do you want to have better energy transfer at closer distances and you don't really care about the longer distances? Are you going to be suppressing this? Or are you not going to be suppressing it? Are you potentially going to be hunting with this? Do you need a certain energy transfer at a certain distance? What platforms is this caliber available in? Can you run it in a gas gun and a bolt gun? Are you only looking for a bolt gun? Are you only looking for a gas gun? You know, if it's handgun related, is it going to be available in a platform you can hang on to, you can hold, you can recoil management in? Is the ammunition available regularly right now is a fucking shit show. But
yeah,
like there's all these questions you got to ask about caliber. What's the best dude context? One thing I would say about caliber selection is I will say this when you're talking about firearm selection. Look in your safe and make sure you have at least a caliber of gun in every major NATO caliber, 9mm, 5.56, 7.62 by 51, and 12 gauge. Make sure you have at least something in all four of those calibers, and you will pretty much always have ammunition.
Yeah.
So look at it from that perspective. Outside of that, caliber is whatever. Look at the cost of the round. Yeah, man, some people are like, oh, dude, but should I get a 338 Lapua Magnum? I'm like, before I answer that question, I want you to look at the price of ammo.
Yeah.
And they're like, the cheapest ammo I could find is $6 a round. And I'm like, uh-huh. So let's talk about 6.5 Creedmoor now.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk about something else, right? I want that new 6mm Dasher. And I'm like, yep, go find ammo for it. Oh, there's no real factory ammo. I know, because you're hand loading. I don't want to hand load. Well, I guess that fucking eliminates that then, doesn't it? Like, look at the caliber. That's the smallest portion of the funnel. The next portion of the funnel is, and it's a big one, is size. All right? Size is important when it comes to firearm selection. If it's handgun, can I do the thing I want to do with this handgun? Is it small enough for me to conceal if that's my goal? Is it big enough for me to hold on to if that's my goal? Am I going to be using this for competition? Does it hold enough rounds, or does it hold too many rounds for the type of competition I'm trying to get into? Those are important size questions for handguns, as an example. For carbine, can I hold this thing up like we talked about with ladies earlier?
Yeah.
Can I hold this thing up? Could I hold this thing up for an extended period of time? Is the barrel short enough for me to maneuver in the areas I'm going to be maneuvering them in? I would rather have a AR pistol in 7.5 inch if my primary purpose of the gun was home defense. I don't want a 16-inch gun in home defense if I could avoid it. If I'm going to be out in the field, if I'm going to truck gun and I need to hide it, or if I'm going to be just out in the field, if I'm going to be competing and I may have to stretch out to 300, 400, 500 yards in some competitions, yeah, I would like to have at least, 11.5, 12.5-inch barrel for sure. Preferably a 14.5 or even a 17.7, which is like my favorite ultimate barrel length for competition stuff. Context of barrel length, size of the gun. How heavy is it going to be? What kind of rails am I going to want it? Do I want a big old quad rail, forend? Probably not. It's probably too damn heavy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's shotgun related, size is important there as well. Do I want a 28-inch gun, 26, 24, 20, 18.5? Is it worth getting an SBS and going the NFA route? Should I get one of those little TAC-14 things? Probably not, is the answer. But look at the size and comparison of what you're doing there. How am I going to be using this thing? Don't worry about recommendations from people. How am I going to be using this? Look at size. After size, now comes in everyone's favorite question, brand, reliability, and accessibility. Get brands that are reliable. Look at models that aren't brand new to the market. It's more common nowadays the firearms industry has changed a lot in the last decade or so. Firearms companies, get ready for this, folks, are mostly not run by firearms people. Okay? Mm. That is my sad, sad truth to share with you. Most of them are run by people with business degrees and marketing degrees and communication degrees and CEOs and CFOs and COOs who would be just as happy over at fucking Hewlett-Packard or whatever, if they're in fucking company still, right? They would be just as happy over there as they would be at, I don't know, Salient Arms or Daniel Defense or wherever. The majority of people in firearms companies are not firearms people. That's accessories, ammo, guns, everything. Because those companies hire people who are good at certain aspects of business to run that business. To them, they're just selling, producing, whatever, a widget. All right? Not everyone who works at a firearms factory, not everyone at the Ruger factory is a big fucking hunter and shooter.
Yeah.
All right? I know Black Hills Ammo has their cool ads that shows five of the whatever, 50 employees or whatever that they have that, this guy's a hunter, this guy's a shooter. And I'm sure a lot of their people do good things. I'm not bagging on Black Hills makes good ammo. And I'm not bagging on people who aren't shooters and make good ammo. You can do good quality control without being a shooter. You can produce a great product without being a shooter. Do I think that you can understand the product fully and really understand how people are going to use it? No, of course not. So because of that, don't think that everyone in the firearms community, production and all that, is going to be firearms related. So when you're looking at brand, make sure you're not so wrapped up in their fucking marketing that they are literally just psyopsing your ass.
Yeah.
All right. And make sure that you're actually looking at what you're going to be buying and what you're going to be getting from that brand. Look at accessibility of the brand. In other words, it's cool to get that badass custom-built rifle from whatever company. But if every time you want to put a rail on it, it's going to cost you $80 for their custom-made freaking rails, and you can't go down to the store and buy an M-Lock or a Key Mod or whatever for $15, it's going to suck. If every time I want to buy a new magazine for this gun, it costs me $50 instead of $15, that's going to suck. If every time I go out of state for a competition, I break my holster, my holster gets lost, and whatever, right? Oh, shit, I grabbed the wrong one. If I can't run down to a local gun store and get a holster for this gun, that might ruin that whole fucking trip for me, you know? So I want guns that are easy to find stuff for, if that's those are the guns I'm going to be using the most.
Yeah.
You know, I have weird one-off guns, not one-off necessarily, but, you know, less used guns that I love that are harder to find shit for, and I shoot them and they're fun and they're good and I use them for training and stuff like that, but mostly the stuff I use the most is going to take AR mags, it's going to take Glock mags, it's going to, you know, it's going to be 12 gauge in a shotgun, it's going to be able to shoot common factory ammo, because if I'm in a match and I run out of ammo, I can't be like, oh shit, my gun only eats these high-end freaking custom hand-loaded rounds. It won't shoot anything else for shit because I've had the, you know, the barrel turned perfectly and blueprinted the chamber and everything's cut perfectly for this round and it won't shoot anything else and I run out of rounds at a match? Shit. Right? So accessibility, brand reliability, those are important. That's the next step. The step after that, which is the final step in the funnel. If you can imagine, this funnel started really big with every option. You narrowed it down a little with caliber. You narrowed it down way more with size. You narrowed it down a shitload with brand selection and accessibility. And now your final narrowing is going to be fit and comfort of the gun to you. Do you like the way it feels in your hand? Handgun, shotgun, carbine, rifle. Does it fit your body? If it doesn't, can it be modified easily? Are there aftermarket parts available that you could use to modify it? Are there companies out there that specialize in modifying this thing? You know, nothing sucks worse than having the best freaking possible gun for you that doesn't quite fit you right. And you're not going to want to shoot it. It's no fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fit and comfort is going to be a really big deal here. Let me see if we got any other questions here. Should I shoot 17 HMR or 338 Lapua Magnum? Well, I would say if you love spending money, go for the 338 because everything that gets hit with a 338 pretty much dies. If you like, you know, having fun and plinking, then a 17 HMR is great. And if you shoot it enough, it'll probably die too. No, but no shit, man. That I know Ryan's being facetious, but that is the truth, man. We get those kinds of questions. I mean, not quite that extreme, but damn close. Freaking damn close. So here's another consideration with firearm selection, and this is one that I take very seriously, and it's something that you have to consider. You're outfitting your tribe.
Yep.
You are getting a firearm you may have to hand off to a loved one, a child who's old enough, a spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, friend, coworker, shooting buddy, whatever. Can they use this gun?
Yeah. Can they pick it up and run it?
Is it going to be possible for them to even stand a chance in hell of picking this thing up off the ground, even if they got to prop it on something, right? Do they stand a chance of running this gun? If you have to consider that in your life.
Yeah.
You may not. You may not have to consider this. I do. Drew does. If I have to hand my pistol to my kid, if we have to handle rifle to our kid, our older kids, you know, can they run these guns? Do we have it so heavy and so crazily built that they can't manipulate it? Oh, don't worry. I've got all these custom switches and hooks and doodads on mine. It bypasses this and it changes the mag release and it does all this shit.
Is it too confusing for kids to figure out?
You know, my tribe.
Yeah.
If I hand my rifle, my AR, to my buddy who also knows how to shoot ARs and go, hey, bro, here's a rifle. Cover my ass while I fucking do this thing or whatever it may be. He looks at it and goes, yep, this is a regular old AR. I know how to run this thing. Or he looks at it and goes, what the fuck is this thing? Here, buddy, run my Tavor. Hey, look, a Tavor's a badass gun. It's great. You know, I just had, along this firearms funnel, I just had a private class last week where a lady ran a Tavor and her AR and ended up liking the Tavor because her upper body strength isn't quite what she wants it to be. And the Tavor has all the weight in the ass end. And it was way easier for her to hold up and shoot that Tavor using the same mags and the same ammo as it was running that AR.
Yeah.
Hard for her to hold up her AR and shoot it. And it was a pretty stock AR, but she just wasn't quite where she wanted to be, you know, with the technique and all that. And the Tavor was way easier. So great, you run a Tavor. In her case, from what her description was to me, she'd probably not be handing it off to anybody else. Her tribe is very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And not with people probably going to shoot me handing guns to. Great. For her, that's awesome. Do I want to, hey, buddy, hey, guy who normally shoots my AR, here's a Tavor. Now, could he figure it out? Sure, but I don't want to be in the midst of figuring out while he's trying to cover my ass. So that's something to think about. Maintenance considerations are something to think about with firearm selection. How high intensity is this? Like, cool, you want to buy a rifle in 6mm Creedmoor, badass. Barrel life, 1,500 to 1,800 rounds, and you'll be in a new barrel. 6.5 Creedmoor, you get 2,500 to 2,800 on average. 7.62 by 51, you're going to get like 8,000 rounds, 6,000 rounds on the low side. Like, that's a consideration. You may have to swap barrels. Like, for those of you who shoot competition and shoot our rifles a lot, we know we're going to be swapping barrels. But for most people, they're not going to shoot 6,000 to 8,000 rounds of 7.62 by 51. Hell, they may never even shoot 2,500 rounds of freaking 6.5 Creed.
Yeah.
But that's a maintenance consideration to consider if I'm buying a rifle. What's this barrel life like? When I'm buying a carbine, what are the wear and tear parts on this I might need to have to fix? I should buy extra parts for that. Same thing with a Glock. Same thing with a shotgun. You're buying a shotgun. You know, people go, I should get a pump or a semi-auto. Okay. Again, we're talking about – maybe we're talking about apples and apples, but we're talking about two different types of – we're talking about a Gala, red, unwaxed, nasty-looking fucking apple and a badass – waxed out, honey crisp, delicious fucking apple. They're both apples, but they're totally different fucking apples. They both are delicious in the end. They both give you fiber or whatever. Neither of those fucking apples are the same fucking apples.
Yeah.
So a semi-auto shotgun, yeah, way more maintenance. There's tons of gas blowing through that system. Pump action shotgun, yeah, maintain it. Keep it well lubed every now and then and you'll be fucking fine. It's a manually operated system.
You know, before this month, I guess, is when we did the shotgun class.
Last month, technically, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know how to run one. Mm. And now I do.
And now you know. You like a semi-auto.
And they still suck.
But that's, like, those types of maintenance considerations. Parts. Yeah. Do I need special oils and greases? Like, the lube I use for semi-auto guns is not the same lube that I use for my bolt-action rifles, and it's not the same lube that I use for really small, compact, or otherwise tight-fitting guns.
Mm-hmm.
I use mostly lithium grease on tight-fitting guns and understand that it actually has to be physically cleaned off before being reapplied. Regular Slip 2000 is whatever. It's what I put on everything, and I can put on anything in a pinch. And then I use like the Slip 2000 rifle grease or the snake oil rifle grease for my bolt guns. Totally different stuff.
Yeah.
Those are different maintenance considerations for different styles of guns that are using the lubricant in different ways. And the last thing is, where do you go? Everybody wants to know, where do you shop? We have a local place here that we prefer, and that is Yeti Firearms. If you're in the Phoenix area, we like Yeti Firearms.
Yeah,
now, right now, we've had a couple issues with people going in there because they're doing most of their sales online. And it's really hard to get their stuff off the shelf because they're selling so much stuff online. And that's been a point of pain for some people. That's what it is.
Yep.
We still like them. We still do most of our business through them.
Yeah, they're good dudes.
Arizona Machine Gun Ordinance out of Gilbert, owned by our buddy Mark. He will do, if you know exactly what you want, like, I mean fucking exactly. He's not a gun store,
yeah,
but he is a dealer for a lot of stuff. So if you...
He does do builds.
And he custom builds, and yeah, he does great. He does really good gunsmithing stuff, basic stuff. You need a pin and a weld. You need something, you know, you need to set a barrel properly. You need to, you know, get something worked on. You need to put a parts kit together, whatever. You know, Mark can absolutely help you out.
Yeah.
And he's good at it. He's a total fucking gun nerd.
Oh, my God. He's a fucking gun
nerd. He knows more about, oh, that's a block, whatever, built 19, whatever. It's like, the dude fucking knows the shit. So.
And he has Ace.
And he's got Zero's little brother. AZMGO, you can find him on Instagram. And Arizona Machine Gun Ordinance, look him up. Call him up. Again, you need to know exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Like, he always gets me exactly what I want when I literally go, hey, dude, I want this thing, this model. exactly. Here's the model number I want you to order me. And he does all bunch of class 3 stuff. He's NFA dealer as well. So you can get your suppressors, you know, full auto, all that kind of stuff through him. Same thing with Yeti. They're also a class 3 dealer. So you can get stuff from them as well. Either one of those people, great people to go through when you're looking for basic stuff. From basic all the way up to whatever you want. Yeah. They're both kind of higher end dealers. So you're probably not going to go to either one of those guys and get a Taurus. You know, you want that, go to your local gun shop, wherever that is.
But know what you want, walk in so they don't try and
do something. Same thing with Yeti. Call them up and say, this is the thing that I want. I'm going to buy it from you. Here's exactly the thing I want. They can tell you whether or not they can even get it.
Yeah. Hopefully this will all calm down soon and life can resume.
It will eventually. It always does.
Yeah.
So the hazard of brand snubbing is always going to be you're going to talk yourself out of some really good deals. I've seen PSAs. I've seen Palmetto State Armory guns blow apart. And I've seen them run like tops. And I've seen them be shit straight out of the box. You're always going to take a risk when you're going with a lower brand. They're not selling stuff cheaper because they're the same quality as the higher guys. They're selling stuff cheaper because they're not the same quality as the higher guys. You may end up putting some money into the cheaper thing. It still may be less expensive after you put money into it and have it custom tuned and built and everything. It still may be cheaper than buying the really high-end thing. I don't know. It depends on the thing.
Yeah.
But don't brand snub. Do real research into the topic. And don't just listen to your buddies, man. They probably don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Or cops.
Yeah. Or your buddy who was in the Army.
Yeah.
Or, I was in the Army.
Or veterans.
I went to wherever. I'm a fucking goddamn weapons expert.
That's a go-to for women tell me, oh, yeah, well, my husband was in the Army, so he built me this. Yeah, well, he probably fucking knows dick.
Yeah, he probably doesn't know, man. Yeah, not everyone who went in the military is a fucking certified armorer.
Yeah.
Too many Christmas. All right. You can bring us out to train with you. Get our hard opinions in person, up close and personal. Email us info@trainingaz.com. It's really easy to host us. It's easier than most people think it is.
Yeah.
We do most of the work. We mostly just need you to help us find the place to do it. And we'll train just about anywhere. So it's really not that hard to find a place for us to come to you. Medical, firearms, survival stuff. Email us info@trainingaz.com. And you may train for free if it's an open enrollment class with at least 10 people for 2 days or 20 people for 1 day. And we will come out and you'll train at no cost to you. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We were on Parler until it died.
Yeah.
We're sort of kind of on Telegram, but I don't really know what's going to happen with that.
Telegram's just a messaging thing. It's
We're not really anywhere there right now. But make sure you follow us while all that shit is still active, if you're still on it, under The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out the other shows on the network. Next week, we're really excited to have Amy Robbins from Alexo Athletica on the show talking with us about how to get ladies into the concealed carry lifestyle and how to carry comfortably, even if you're a mom, even if you're a working professional, maybe even if you're in places where you just really don't want your firearm to be seen. And that show is mostly going to be Amy and Drew kind of talking it out because I am not a woman.
Obviously. You'd make a really ugly woman.
I would make an ugly woman. All right. One real quick thing from Brian. I've seen Ruger Americans hold under MOA for $400. Brand snubbing is whack. It is, man. My Tika T3X was like $650, and it's literally one of the most accurate rifles in my cabinet.
Yeah.
So, something to think about. All right, you guys. Till next time, stay where, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.